This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. More people than ever are reaching out for help this holiday season. Local charities are preparing for the extra need, but nonprofit leaders are hoping community members who can help will step it up a notch. Whether it's volunteering time or donating money or food, every little bit counts. Today on Newsmakers, we'll hear from just a few of the many charities in the La Crosse area who help out even more during the holiday season. First is one of the more recognizable charities during the holiday season, the Salvation Army. We've all seen the bell ringers outside of stores collecting money for the Red Kettle Christmas campaign, but the organization needs more bell ringers in the La Crosse area. La Crosse Salvation Army Corps Officer Major Paul Moore says it's partially because of the way they do things.
We've actually tried to move away from the way Salvation Army traditionally has raised its funds through the kettles. We're using a program now that allows us to have more volunteers involved rather than a smaller number of people. Traditionally, the Salvation Army has used a lot of people who were low income, and then we paid them for their time. But that has proven over the years not to be the most effective way to raise funds. So we've moved to this system that allows us to have two-hour shifts at each of our locations and then ask people from the community to come out and take those times as volunteers. And I have to say the La Crosse community has been wonderful and very open to that idea. And so we're very excited by the fact that, you know, so many people already have signed up, but we still have a lot of spaces to go, and we'd love to see those filled up.
So how many more bell ringers do you need this holiday season?
Well, right now we have about 800 two-hour shifts that are yet to be taken for the entire season up till the 24th of December. Now, we ring 6 days a week. We actually have 23 sites. We just were able to add one today. Thank you to Sears. And so we're real excited about that. And so there's places to go. Every day a location has five available two-hour shifts. And so when you work out the math, there's still quite a few to go.
And I know that you reach out not only to different community organizations, but also just to individuals to step up.
Absolutely. And that was one of the things we found as the community has changed, as society has changed over the last 10, 15 years. There are actually less groups like the Kiwanis, the Rotary, the Exchange Club. Those groups are actually getting smaller in most communities. And so what we started to do was we started to look at family units and say, you know what? What about a mom and her kids, or a dad and his children, or grandpa and grandma taking out the grandkids? You know, how much interest would that be? Or senior citizens even. And what we found was there was a lot of interest in people doing that. And they wanted to feel that, you know, they were making a contribution to the community to help those that were in need. And so the interest has been very high among many, many different types of people and groups. And so that's been really helpful in getting people to come out. They simply contact us or go online, reserve their shift, and then get out there and have fun and, you know, sing at the kettles and greet people and wish people Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. It can be a very joyful time.
So when that person is not at a kettle, when there's a kettle that has no bell ringer at it, can you talk about the financial impact that has on the collection for the day?
Oh, it has a huge impact. In studying what the kettles actually do, they actually, for the most part, bring in around $30 per hour. And if there's no one there, that drops to about $2 an hour. So it's absolutely essential that someone be there. And that's what makes all the difference. And that money that's raised there is what keeps the Salvation Army going 12 months a year.
The La Crosse Salvation Army has raised its Red Kettle campaign goal this year. Can you talk about why more money is needed in La Crosse?
Well, it has to do with really the requests that we're seeing for assistance. Now, it's a pretty well-known fact, I think, in the community that the number of homeless people has gone up. It has to do with economic reasons. Obviously, people have lost their homes, people have lost their jobs. There's all kinds of issues with affordable housing, and so people have turned to the Salvation Army for assistance, and it's happened in record numbers. So what we've been faced with are record numbers of people needing assistance and a limited amount of assets to be able to meet those needs. And so what our board decided this year was we would push up our goal with the idea that, you know, the people are already standing at our doorstep. let's help as many as we can. To do that, we've got to have the money.
What does the money from the Red Kettle campaign go towards at the Salvation Army?
The biggest two programs that the Salvation Army runs in La Crosse are our shelter for homeless people. We actually have a capacity right now that's about 75 people per night in the shelter, and that's single men, single women, and families. So, you know, when you start looking at that, that's a very expensive program to have out there. The second one is the number of people that we feed, and we feed people 7 days a week, three meals a day. And it's not just people in the shelter. It's also people from the community who have no place else to go. And right now we're averaging somewhere in just north of 100 people per meal coming in to eat. And so those are our two major expenses that we have. They probably take up, my guess, without looking at figures, 70% of all the money raised goes into those two programs.
Isn't there a holiday campaign where you're buying clothes and even toys for children?
Absolutely. That's the other thing. You know, the money's raised at the holidays to help people have a better Christmas for their family. We don't want to see children going without at the holiday season. And so over the years, we've developed these programs, and money needs to be spent on those programs so a family can have a meal on Christmas Day, or so a family can have gifts for their children on Christmas Day. We also visit almost every person in a nursing home here in the county also with a small gift, a remembrance, so that they know someone is thinking about them on Christmas Day.
I'm wondering if you can talk about, beyond the holiday season, what would you like to see more people doing in regards to, you know, reaching out to the Salvation Army or any of the number of nonprofits in town?
Well, I don't think everybody should support the Salvation Army, to be real honest with you. I think there's way too many very important causes here in the community that reach out to people. And you know, not every person that's in need is someone who's homeless. There are other kinds of needs. There are children who don't have, you know, two parents that are struggling because, you know, they need more attention than what they're getting. They need help with homework. And there's great programs here in the community for that. And if somebody doesn't support us, support that. If somebody doesn't support us, then support some other program that helps people in need. Sometimes they're senior citizens. Sometimes they're people with disabilities. I mean, those are important too. And my thing is just everybody help somebody and it will be a better community.
Major Paul Moore is La Crosse Salvation Army's Corps Officer. The organization needs about 800 bell ringer shifts filled in the La Crosse area for the annual Red Kettle Christmas campaign. Another staple in the La Crosse holiday scene is the Rotary Lights. About 2.6 million tiny, colorful bulbs are lighting up Riverside Park this year. But beyond the lights, eight Rotary clubs and countless volunteers come together to collect food and donations for food pantries around the area. I talked with Rotary Lights President Pat Stevens last night. He says the Rotary Lights have evolved over the last 17 years.
Well, actually, the early discussions, the food was a small part of it. We just, some of our early donors wanted to make sure that the project would be open to all people, that everyone could enjoy it during the holiday season. And so we began our project, unlike many others in the country, where it was free and open to the public. And those that could afford to give something, we asked for a voluntary donation. The food idea was one. I said, what if somebody can't afford food or would rather do some other things at that time of year? And so we started with the food donation. First year, in 1995, we collected a little over 13,000 food items. This year, we'll probably top 210,000. So it's grown significantly. We are a major player in taking care of not only the nine food pantries that benefit from the food that's collected in the park, but we have almost two dozen other food drives that go on at the same time under the Rotary Lights umbrella, which will collect another 40 to 50,000 pieces of food. The stuff in the park is divided among the food pantries. The stuff we collect out of the park all goes to the Hunger Task Force, and the Hunger Task Force is kind of the food pantry's food pantry, so it's still helping them and others as well.
And can you talk about the different organizations that do take in the food and the area that it's actually serving?
Well, we have food pantries that we help out from Cashin, from Caledonia, from La Crescent, West Salem, Holman, Onalaska, and La Crosse. So probably within a 25 to 30 mile radius of La Crosse.
Are there any suggestions that you have to people when they donate food, or are the different food pantries telling you, you know, there's something you need, or do you take anything?
Well, for the park, we take anything, and we advertise it that way as well. For the smaller food drives that we do, and we do it in churches and schools, and we do it in some neighborhoods, put it together and so on. We have a list of 5 or 6 items that the food pantries give us that are the most needed items, and there they can be a little bit more restrictive, and people are very willing to give those items.
And I'm wondering if you can talk about the volunteers, too, because that's also a big part of it. There's different volunteers every night from different organizations all over the area.
There is nothing like Rotary Lights when it comes to volunteers. Every August, we send out letters to nonprofit organizations in the area saying if they would like to be part of Rotary Lights for this year, they should fill out an application and return it. And that application kind of gives us the demographics of the group, male and female, the age of the group, are they willing to work weeknights, weekdays, weekends, indoors, outdoors, October, November, December, January, and so on. And when they return those, then we try to match up all the needs and jobs that we have with that group's ability to perform it. And if they are selected, and we get about 100 applications, and we take between 80 and 85 nonprofits a year. So we have a very nice problem of having more volunteers than we really need. But if they do get accepted, then they get a tree in the park. And so if you drive around the park, the 85 trees that are up and decorated are decorated by those organizations with their name in front of it. That means that they're stakeholders, that they've had something to do with creating, putting up, taking down, fixing, repairing, whatever it is with Rotary Lights, that they've had a job and they've performed it at that point. And then with the cash donations that we get, each of those organizations get a little money back as well. But I can tell you from experience that it's pennies on the dollar, that most of them do it because it's a great community project. They believe in the mission of feeding the hungry, and they want to be part of it, so it works out very well. But we have, if you add them all up this year, about 3,200 volunteers that will be represented in those organizations. And this is a year-round project with heavy emphasis in November, December, and January. And when you're in the Midwest and you have to put up with Mother Nature, I'm very surprised that we're able to get as many volunteers as we do. And I tell everybody that will listen, I don't think there's another community in the country that could do it.
And then the lights, of course. I mean, that's what people see and that maybe what draws them in and then causes them to make a donation.
We track the lighting projects from all over the country. It's like anything else. If somebody has a good idea, you like to steal it. And I'm sure they do the same for us as well. But there is not another project that we've seen of this magnitude that's done with volunteers. There are some that are done by park departments throughout the Midwest. There are some that are done professionally and then charged to go through. There's one in Milwaukee that's $15 to $25 a carload, you know, to go through it and stuff like that. And so ours is by far the largest in the Midwest that's certainly free and open to the public.
Is it the board's ideas that comes up with the different, I guess you could call them attractions, like the squirrels running up the trees or the teddy bears in the snowball fight or the Ferris wheel with teddy bears, one of my favorites?
Well, we have some very blessed talent in the area on here, and we are certainly one of the only displays in the country that build all their own animated displays.
Really?
We chalk them out on the floor. We have a gentleman by the name of Leo Chapeau out of La Crescent, Minnesota. That's a talent and a half, and he can build and make almost anything. We have some other individuals that are great artists that can sketch this, chalk it out on the floor, and then we can see how it's going to be animated. We have some great electricians like Mike Dively and Andy Wettstein that know how to put it all together and bring the animateds to life and stuff. We have a great computer whiz by the name of Matt Zimmerman. All volunteers, all that come together and make these. So I think we have 24 animated displays right now. Added one new one this year, which is the clown. And we try to add one or two every year. And as we expand the park, I think you'll enjoy what they have in mind.
And I'm wondering, too, if you can talk about the different entertainment. And Santa is here sometimes, and his reindeer are here for a little bit, too.
The reindeer flew in today, so we have the start of the reindeer here. By no coincidence, there's 8 of them on here. Santa's here every night from 5 to 8 o'clock, right now through the 23rd of December. He'll stay later if the kids are in line. We'll always take care of the kids if that be the case. So they are here. The entertainment is one that years ago we were lucky if we could get 2 or 3 folks to come, mostly because it was outdoors on the bandshell. Since we put up the ice castle, as we refer to it as, or the heated tent, There's a stage in there, and I think this year there's like 35 different performers that will come down and play.
And it probably goes along with your mission because it's free and it's something that everyone can just enjoy.
There's two things that we've really worked on from the Rotary Lights perspective, and one is to keep it free and open to the public, and as long as the people are generous as they exit the park and as long as we're able to get some sponsorships in advance of the project, we're able to pay the bills and have enough left over in seed money to start the next year on here. So that's very important to us to be able to do that.
Pat Stevens, is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
Couldn't do it without sponsorships. I got to mention the sponsors, that they've been just terrific for us. We'd like to expand that, and we have some great ideas that are going to cost a little bit more money in the years to come. I know we've got some more computerization we'd like to do. Big demand every year for us to put an ice skating rink down here, so we're trying to look at the pros and cons of doing that, but how fun it would be to have a family down here ice skating among 2.5 million lights. So we're going to work on that as well, and maybe that'll be ready to be unfolded for our 20th anniversary. We'll see.
Pat Stevens is president of the Rotary Lights in La Crosse. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Today, we're talking about nonprofits that step it up during the holiday season. One of the area food pantries that benefits from the Rotary Lights collections is Wafer. Executive Director Heidi Blanke says the added donations are needed. In November, she says Wafer gave out more food than ever before.
Right, an all-time record high for the number of food packages distributed. It was 1,841. And in November 2010, that number was 1,577.
That's incredible.
It's very significant. So it's been fairly nonstop here, and it's tricky to keep the shelves full for the level of demand. You know, we're looking at distributing 7,000 cans of soup a month, among other items. So it's constantly looking for the good deals, constantly getting donations of food and money. In order to keep those shelves full.
Have you ever had to turn a person or a family away saying
never.
We don't?
And everybody walks out with the basics that are on our distribution list. We have a list of, I think, maybe 12 or 15 items that everybody gets no matter what. And for the most part, those categories are always full, and that's where we use our funds.
And what are some of the things that people usually get, like soup? Or
soup, peanut butter, canned fruits and vegetables, canned beans, some kind of tomato sauce or spaghetti sauce, pasta, cereal, frozen meat, some kind of toiletries when we have them, a toilet paper, toothpaste, shampoo. And then everybody gets what we just call extras, and those are items that don't fit into any of those categories.
So what would you say to people who can give more during the holiday season? Do you prefer that they give food donations, or would you prefer monetary donations, maybe time volunteering, all of the above?
Yeah, all of the above. Certainly financial contributions are more than welcome. We can always use the cash to supply the shelves. But when we use our cash to buy items, it means that we're buying a pallet of one item. So we're buying a pallet of tomato soup or a pallet of chicken noodle soup, and there's very little variety. When people bring in food from a food drive or they go to the store and they buy several cans or a case of an item, then we begin to have some variety and our clients have more choice.
What are you expecting throughout the month of December once the holidays really kick in? Are you expecting even more people to come forward, and how are you even preparing for that?
Our donations do increase significantly in December, both financially and with food drives. And in the last couple of years, we've seen more people who are donating to charities, whether it's Wafer or somewhere else, in lieu of gift giving. So that makes a difference to us. And I'm a member, personally, of a couple of groups that will be doing that instead of giving gifts to each other. I think the awareness is increasing as far as the need. People are more aware that the need is there, and they're willing to forego some things that they don't particularly have to have for themselves and giving what they would have had for themselves to somebody else that needs it more. And as far as being prepared for that, as long as food is coming in, we will have volunteers to help unload it.
Heidi, is there anything else right now you'd like to talk about?
I know there's some word out there that the recession is starting to level off. We're not seeing it from our point of view. In fact, we're beginning to see here and there people who are not necessarily at the government level low income, but still can't make ends meet.
Heidi Blanke is Executive Director of Wafer Food Pantry in La Crosse. Of course, there's a need to help people in more rural areas. Bethel Boutique Food Pantry and Thrift Shop in Westby is one of the many organizations that's helping people outside of La Crosse. Pastor Gary Danes is one of the many volunteers who helps out at Bethel Boutique.
We started what we call Operation Christmas. We will provide about $150 worth of toys, clothing, household items for about 2,000 people in the next 2.5 weeks.
And what is the area that you're mostly serving?
Over all of Vernon County, southern Monroe County, and northern Crawford County.
And is it important to serve the rural communities? Do you think that sometimes maybe they're left behind during the holiday season and maybe more focus is on the La Crosse area?
Yep.
Are there different items that you need more donations for than others?
We take all the donations we can get. We aren't taking any summer clothing right now, so it has to be winter clothing and primarily outerwear.
And what about the food pantry?
We take all the donations we can get for a food pantry. We cannot take any home processed items.
Do you prefer people give money or do you prefer food?
For every dollar given, I can get $18 worth of food.
Bethel Boutique, that's a year-round project. So when people come in and kind of step it up during the holiday season, obviously that's important too, but do you want people to be giving year-round as well?
Yes. We also provide heat assistance, fuel assistance, medical assistance, gas vouchers. Everything that falls through the crack, we cover. So we will give away this year goods, services, and all that, approximately $700,000. Generally, we serve 500, 600, 700 families a year.
And I'm wondering if you can talk about the volunteers that really hold it all together.
We have about 100 to 150 volunteers. They all work together, and nobody is a specific boss. They just come in when they're scheduled to work and do what needs to be done. 17 different congregations that provide volunteers.
All right. Well, Gary, is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
We just thank everybody for all the donations they make, and we're able to take that donation and actually multiply it, whereas most organizations, if you give a dollar, 50 cents to 80 cents will go to help somebody, the rest go for administration, and ours goes just the opposite because it's a total volunteer program.
Pastor Gary Danes volunteers at Bethel Boutique in Westby. There are so many more organizations in the area that are helping out during the holiday season with housing, clothing, food, and gifts. If you would like your organization listed on our website or even your favorite one, please visit WPR.org/lacrosse to contact us. Coming up in the next half hour, the growing importance of educational foundations in area schools. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum.